5 essential tips to a massive wholesale property sale inventory. It's about inventory, okay? The more property you have at your disposal that you can attach, assign. Hey my friend, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. I'm the author of Smart Real Estate Wholesaling and the creator of 11dayschallenge.com. On this episode, we're talking about the 5 essential tips to a massive wholesale property sale inventory. It's about inventory, okay? The more property you have at your disposal that you can attach, assign sellers and buyers together, the more money you can make, right? Obviously, right? So let's dive in through it. But there are 5 essential tips I wanted to share with you. But I'm going to use this question to get through that. So let's get through the question, and then I'll give you the 5 essential tips and give you information on how to get the full details. Okay? Hey, I need advice on a deal. Awesome. Seller is asking $130,000, but maximum allowable offer would have to be $112,500. Okay, MAO, maximum allowable offer. By the way, if you don't know what that is, you can literally Google My Empire Pro MAO. DealEstimator.com should come up, okay? And if you're looking for comparables, Empire Big Data is a good space to find more comparables, and you'll find that more information here in a second. If an investor bought it at $115,000, so let's keep in mind, this person can only pay. The seller is asking $130,000, needs to be at $112,000. If an investor bought it at $115,000, so this person is thinking ahead of maybe potentially we can get them down to $115,000. Well, $115,000 to $112,000 is not far. You might as well just get the money, right? It will be 76%, but it really doesn't need repairs. Keep in mind that $130,000 is just an opinion. It's a professional opinion based on comparables that you hopefully got from empirebigdata.com, right? So it's just a professional opinion based on sales in the area in the last 1 month, sorry, in the last 6 months within a 1 mile radius, right? So the discrepancy between $112,000 and $115,000 is not a big deal, okay? If it's supposed to be $112,000 and you got it for $115,000, chances are you can still make a deal out of it, right? After repair value, ARV is about $150,000. $150,000. And they're asking $130,000. That's retail. That's retail. That's $20,000 on a $150,000. That's more or less retail, because that's about like 90%, 80-90% of the actual value of the property, right? And the rent roll is $2,300, okay? This would make it a rare unicorn, 2%. Okay, so this is based on the 1% rule, right? 1% rule is basically if you can command rent that's 1% of what the purchase price is, that's a good rental property. At least you can look closer, depending on the property taxes and insurance in the area, depends on the location. You can look closer, there's probably a good deal there, right? So this one looks like 2%, because 2,300, you know, this almost, that's not 2% exactly. Well, if you're paying $112,000 or $115,000, that would be almost like 2%, something close, right? Seller has a mortgage of $105,000. Okay, so they have a mortgage. According to empirebigdata.com, okay, that's where you can find comparables for free, but claims to owe $130,000 and wants to net something. Okay, so this person claims that they owe $130,000 and they want to net something. All right, so remember those two types of motivations, right? Time and money. This person sounds like they want more money as much as possible. They don't need to sell as soon as possible. They want to sell at a price that's as much as possible. That's a different type of motivation, and how you approach that is always focus on what they want and see if you can make some money helping them solve that problem. And if you can't go that direction, at least you've given them the options and you've tried and you're building a relationship with them as you go without wasting your hard time with them, right? Because you shouldn't have time. You should have a pipeline of people coming through your business all the time, leads, right? So you shouldn't have too much time to waste. But when you're engaged with a person, it's okay to engage them with respect to solving their problems, they need to admit that there's a problem. You can educate them that there's a problem, right? Without being stuck on you have to close a deal. The reason why you're stuck on you have to close a deal is because the only way you make money is only when you close deals. If that's the only way you make money is because you don't know what smart wholesaling is, you definitely should make sure you get the book, Smart Real Estate Wholesaling, to understand what that is. It's at smartrealestatewholesaling.com for free. I suspect they're lying about the mortgage though. They're lying. Why does it matter if they're lying or not? Okay, it really doesn't matter if they're lying. People really have no real motive to lie other than they're not motivated. The only reason why somebody will lie to you is because they're not motivated. And if they lie in spite of that, you will find out at the title work. The idea is for them not to, it's not for them to tell you the full truth. It's very possible that they may have a second mortgage, they may have other debts like credit cards that they want to pay off together. It's very possible. So my point there is that don't worry if they're lying or not. Just look at the information you have in front of you. Does it look like something you can work with? There's only really one thing you should be looking for: motivation. Are they motivated to sell? Are they excited that you're gonna help them solve a problem? If that's not the case, the numbers don't even matter, okay? But after you find that out, then you start looking at the numbers a little bit closer, and then you lock it on the contract, and then you see if you can flip that contract. And if there's any problem with lies and stuff like that, it will come up at the title work. Don't spend your energy worrying if somebody is lying or not. What are your thoughts? Those are my thoughts, okay? But I want to give you the five essential tips real quick, and then you can go read the details at the blog, myempirepro.com/blog. It's where you want to go find the details. Number one, multiple streams of income. Think multiple streams of income. Don't just focus on 75%, 60%. If it's up to 90%, right, you can still sell to rent to old type of investors. They're, like I said earlier, the 1% rule is what they use. And just lock it on that contract and see if you can flip it, right? And some people say, but you're going to waste your time. You're not sure if you can. No, you should make sure that the numbers fit into a 1% rule first before you lock it on that contract, with the intentions, of course, actually closing, okay? Everything outside of that, you're not morally obligated to follow somebody's rules. You're morally obligated to do what's right based on your own moral compass, okay? Number two, sell to buy an old investor. So at the same point, just most of the buyers that's going to buy from you after you're doing volume of wholesale properties, if you're doing volume, most of your buyers are going to be buy and hold investors, not people looking to buy equity, not people looking for 50% equity in a property so they can fix and flip. It's not, for the most part, not going to be that. You have to be flexible. Again, if you're flexible, you create multiple streams of income. And in order to do that, part of that is to be open. Understand that most of your buyers are going to be buy and hold investors, okay? Three, the best negotiation position is when you're willing to walk away in a minute. You need to have a pipeline, okay? So make sure you are building a pipeline with leads coming into your business every day. That's the most valuable thing, most profitable thing you can do in your business, okay? Number four, seller can't lie, okay? A motivated seller can lie. Like, even if they did, it's really of no importance. Most people have good intentions when it comes to their real estate. If they're gonna waste their time locking a property under contract with you, chances are they're not gonna waste your time. Does that make sense? So I just wanted to make sure that you're very, very clear on that. The fifth, build a buyer's list. You become an asset for the game of real estate wholesaling, for other wholesalers, for the sellers, for the buyers. Become a massive asset when you have a list. Because first of all, you would have monetized the list. You're monetizing the list as you're building it, meaning you don't have to wait until you close the deal to make money. Plus, that list is yours. It's an asset because there are people on that list that will be assigned to properties. And when you do that, all of the properties, wholesale properties that are available for sale in the marketplace, are your inventory because you have the buyers. You have the buyers. Everybody worships you because they know you have the buyers. The wholesalers love you because they know you have the buyers, not just calling them to say, hey, can I JV with you? What do you mean, can you JV with me? You got a buyer? If you don't have a buyer, don't waste my time. Don't waste each other's time, okay? Make sure you are marketing, make sure you're building a list, you're monetizing the list, and then when you do that, you have an asset that you can now leverage to help other wholesalers, to help those sellers. You can help massive sellers without your personal marketing money involved in that. How does that sound? If that sounds really, really cool to you, go to smartrealestatewholesaling.com and download this book for free. And when you get there, I'll give you real estate money secrets as a bonus free of charge. Hopefully you've been enlightened, educated. I'll see you on the next one. Peace.